This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you until 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne, and we are live in West Palm Beach. For the fourth consecutive show, we'll be here today and tomorrow, and it's been a hell of a week watching Astros baseball.
This is so much more fun than Radio Row. It's because we get to just walk out of our bedrooms, do our show in the morning.
The commute is much
go
better.
Go look at some iguanas and then go watch a baseball
it's
game.
It's beautiful,
and
man.
Actually get to enjoy a really cool environment over there at Cacti Park of West Palm Beach.
It's good yesterday, man.
The Palm Beaches, excuse me.
And they're 2-0 with us at these games so far.
We're like gigantic rabbit's feet for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Imagine a rabbit with you and me as its feet.
No.
I can't. Let's make a whole segment about that.
About that, yeah. Good day yesterday, man. If you're making a checklist for these spring training games, you know, it's I would say the checklist yesterday, you know, the guys that mattered in the lineup yesterday were guys like Yiner Diaz and Isak Paredes, and Paredes had another walk, and then Diaz followed that up with a home run in the first inning. We got a couple scoreless innings out of Fromber, including a double play. It's like everybody was in there doing their gimmicks yesterday.
You called it. You were in regular season form because Fromber let somebody on base with a walk, and you said, it's Fromber. It'll probably be a double play. And then boom.
Boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
5-4-3, double play, baby.
Yeah.
It was good, man. It was good yesterday out at the yard, 3-0 over the Nationals. Now today is going to be really fun. Because we're going into the Lions' Den, baby. We're going up to Port St. Lucie, a road game.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring it.
A bunch of New Yorkers masquerading as South Floridians.
That's it.
There's one thing, if you've never been to Miami, the one thing that's always a little shocking at first is that it, depending on where you are, sometimes you're like, oh, I might as well be in New Jersey. Why is this person talking so loud and so angry? Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Half the people down here are actually from the Northeast.
Yeah, these are just Northeast people that wanted warmer weather.
They look like they should be super laid back, and yet they are not.
No, not
they
at
will
all.
Honk at your butt.
Yep. A lot of those down here. A lot of those. We get the automated strike zone today too.
Oh, yeah. No,
we ran into Gene Dias last night. We were out at dinner. Gene's the head of PR, media relations for the Astros, and we're like, can we confirm that Port St. Lucie is a ballpark that has the automated strike zone? And he said, I can confirm.
So for those of you who don't know, the automated strike zone, the way they're testing it out is you're allowed a couple challenges per game, and it has to come within 2 seconds of the ball crossing the plate. Either the catcher, the batter, or the pitcher can challenge the call.
Yeah.
And they can't get any input from the dugouts. garbage cans, anything like that. And
has to be done, boom,
yeah,
in the moment.
And most, it sounds like from talking to baseball people, most teams are approaching it as they want the catcher to make the challenge. They don't want the pitcher. And which is, you made the astute observation, or you had the thought last week that a guy like Framber, you don't want to get. Framber might challenge the first two pitches of the
game. He'd use your two challenges up, and you could keep challenging until you get two wrong.
If you're successful, you get that challenge back.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting cat and mouse game. And the minor leaguers have dealt with this already, but the majority of major leaguers have not.
I wonder. I mean, we may see nothing from that today. You know what I mean? There may be no challenges or whatever, but I hope we get to see him.
This is a good test for Yiner. Yiner doing this in a spring training game.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting.
I've come around on it. I'm massively in favor of this now.
Yeah.
I used to be – I was for the longest – and it feels kind of like an old head sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is me trying to cater to the younger generation a little bit. But forever, I'm like, it's human error. It happens, you know?
Well, the biggest thing that I haven't
liked... feels like the umps have gotten so bad.
Well, the problem is that strike zone that they use on TV isn't as accurate. And it doesn't adjust the same way for the batter and everything else the way the system that they've been working on adjusts. And so it's just
like for the size of the
batter. I think there's times on television where maybe it looks way more obvious than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as a viewer, I get just as angry as everybody else when there's when you see a ball and it's called a strike or vice versa. So I don't know. They've talked about possibly getting rid of the television strike zone altogether as they include the automated strike zone. It feels like it's almost like the first down line in football. It feels like it's become such a part of the viewing experience that people are not going to want to lose it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So is the strike zone box on TV, do I look at that the same way I look? Like the first down line.
I notice it when it's not there. I don't like it in some of the games where it's not there.
Okay, yeah, like the first down line is one of the greatest inventions in modern broadcasting.
Yeah. World in general. I'd put it up there with the telephone.
Except
that I actually use the first down marker, whereas I don't use my telephone.
Internet, telephone,
mm-hmm.
First down line.
Penicillin.
We should probably
throw penicillin in
there. Penicillin as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's our Fab Four. But the strike zone, yeah, you're right.
What'd you say, lasagna?
Lasagna. It's the greatest one of the greatest inventions ever. Yeah. Hey, how about Spo yesterday?
Yeah.
Adam Spillane. So we were talking to him. He gave us a phone call on his way back from the yard yesterday morning. So for those who don't know, Adam Spillane, our Astros reporter, he's here with us in West Palm Beach. Been doing a great job. And he goes out to the ballpark like pretty soon. Like right about now he drives out to the ball. Today he probably won't because they're in Port St. Lucie, if I had to guess, right? But when they're home, he's been going out there and he gets sound from Espada and he talks to some of the players.
Yeah.
And then on his way back, he'll call us so we can find out, hey, what's going on out there, man? You know, like give us some nuggets. And it's hard to preview these games because they're, especially yesterday, there's only four or five guys that fans are really interested in these games. So Spo gave us this yesterday when we were asking him, hey, man, give us something for this game coming up. You know, we know Fromber's pitching. Who else is pitching? Give us a little nugget here.
One of the guys who is scheduled to come out of the bullpen today is Logan Van Wy, who was an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago who has really flown through their system. He was a Division II pitcher who wound up closing games last year in Sugarland. And when they traded Ryan Pressly, Logan Van Wy was a guy that Dana Brown specifically mentioned as somebody who could win a bullpen role coming out of spring training. So that's somebody who is kind of interesting at this point just because – When the GM mentions him by name, that's your ears kind of perk up, especially if he's not somebody that you're overly familiar with. So Logan Van Wy is one guy that I'm looking at today.
All right, Logan Van Wy, two innings, two hits, three strikeouts yesterday.
Yeah.
He was, Spo is basically a master scout. Is
ERA
what
of zero still.
Zero?
A whip of one.
.00.
This is the next guy to watch in terms of, all right, is the Astros pitching coaching staff and analytics staff going to turn this guy into something much more than anybody thought he could be?
They got a couple. I mean, there's a couple spots open right now. That's, you know, as you look at this team, that may be a good question for Spo. Like, what spots, like, what are we battling for here at the back end of the roster? Yeah. There's probably an infield spot that's open right now.
Well, I mean, right field and second base is huge.
Yeah.
So Altuve is going to play left field on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll see Yordan on Friday.
Yep.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a fun game. We'll get to attend at least part of that game. And
the part they're playing.
The part they're playing. Yeah. And then we have to go to the airport. We're not leaving early just to beat traffic or anything like
that.
That's right. And then... but yeah, Altuve in left field is there. It's going to be. You said, hey, we got to sit out there in left field. Well, Altuve's out there, and
yeah.
I think there's going to be competition for that spot.
Probably.
I feel like a good half of the people in the ballpark will probably be out there in left field.
Yeah, I would be if I were there. You know, if I were just, there, I mean, we'll be there. But if I were there, like as a fan. It's a very easy ballpark to move around
in. There's no bad seats in that stadium.
Well,
right?
And nobody is monitoring. Like, oh, are you in section 118?
Yeah.
Oh, let me see your tickets. Yeah. Like, it's very laid back.
If I were a parent of a young child, which I once was, but now I'm going to do that thing where I act way cooler than I was as a parent. I would take a week off and bring my kids a week off from school and bring my kids to spring training when it's not a spring break time.
Yeah,
because there's like you can sit in the outfield and have a really good shot at getting a home run.
Yeah,
you know, from a guy who might end up being a major leaguer.
Minor Diaz hit
from an actual major leaguer, or from a guy who very well might become a major leaguer.
Yeah,
there's very little competition for the home runs.
Right.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of. What you're saying right now is the same thing I was telling people when the Texans were at the Greenbrier up in West Virginia. I'm like, if you're a Texan fan, if you got the time and you can make it up there, that you're going to get way closer to the training camp experience. You're going to be able to get autographs.
Oh, the autographs,
way
it's
easier.
Way more. Just
way
everything.
Easier.
There's so much more exposure and time that you can get around the players on their way to their field work or batting practice or anything else like that. And you get to see them really up close. Well, one of our listeners, John, who listens every day, he told me, that was the first thing he said. He was with his daughter. He said, I tell my family every morning, I'm going upstairs, I'm going to listen to Payne and Pendergast.
He's the man.
So John was sitting, three rows back? He was sitting in his assigned seats.
Yeah.
But three rows back from third base.
Yep.
And he had told me the day Cam Smith hit two home runs, he was out there, and when he first saw Cam Smith in the field, he's like, yeah, Guillorme's telling him where to line up and everything. And I was just thinking, I don't know if this guy's going to make it. And then, boom, boom, two home runs.
Yeah.
And so you get to see all of these. It's not their official debuts, but the debuts in an Astros uniform of guys like Cam Smith.
Well, and to your point, you hear everything down there, too.
Yeah.
And even just you and I were sitting out in right field yesterday, and even the pop-up to right field by, I forget who it was, that ended the – it was Brendan Rodgers, hits a little pop-up to right field to end the inning. Even just hearing the outfielders chatter with each other, like, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, like hearing that, you don't hear that even in a half full major league stadium because A, you're so far away.
Right.
B, there's so many people talking.
But even in the good seats, like the really, really good seats, you don't hear that level of communication.
Yeah, or Daikin, whatever. Yeah.
Where if you're sitting at spring training, if you're down near home plate or something, you can hear a lot more of what's going on.
Yeah, it's like you're at a park watching a game, like a ballpark. It's like you're at a city park just watching a softball game or something.
Except
you know?
The players aren't drinking. Or
no.
At least most of them are.
There's not a keg at second base.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be. Just for the last week of spring training.
They should force veterans to drink.
Yes.
That'd make it a lot more entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Jose Altuve with seven errors in left field. The ball hit him in the left orbital.
He vomited in the sixth inning. He was taken out after he threw up. Oh, man. All right. How many beers does it take to get Jose Altuve throw up drunk? All right. We're off and running on a Thursday. Let's circle back out to Indianapolis and the combine. Nick Caserio met with the media yesterday. And we'll hear what he had to say about the Texans. Where are they at right now in terms of contenders? Where does Nick Caserio see them in terms of where they are contending? We'll get to that coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday.
What happened there? I thought you
There's
had a
usually
stroke.
Another bump coming back.
I thought you were okay. I was worried about you.
Not a big deal.
We
that's
had a lot
on
of
me,
greasy
boys.
Food
that's
left.
On
that's,
me.
Yeah, Colin, that's all right. Colin, it's all good, man. Colin's in for Ben today.
We ate at a restaurant called Grease.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of grease. It was, and you might think, like, okay, how greasy can you make food? I don't know, but those are the greasiest tater tots I've ever had.
They were good.
And good. Yeah. They were a really good burger.
You and I got the same burger, I think, huh?
We did.
Yeah.
We're simpatico.
You and I
probably
travel.
Time
you,
to bring in a third host.
You and
now.
I travel pretty good together, man. This is two trips in 4 weeks, and we've had a good time.
Yeah, no blow-ups or anything.
No.
Nobody.
Not yet.
Like we need to have a viral moment where somebody freaks out in the house about something.
It's going to be Spo. That would be the biggest thing if it was Spo who freaked out, because he's the least freak-outable person here.
Yeah, which helped me. I also feel, though, that Spo might have the most falling down in him. Like, he might, I don't know, if Spo breaks, he's going to break hard.
That's how you go viral.
Yeah, those are the guys the guys you don't expect to freak out. When they freak out, it's pretty major.
Yeah.
I'm going to start agitating him.
So I guess he is getting up and going to the ballpark this way. Even though it's a road game, there's stuff going on, Spo, over. Okay. All right, so we're going to get stuff. We're going to get Spo a little later on the show.
Spo's going to log some miles in South Florida
Hell
today.
Yeah, he is, man. That's good. Yeah, Spo's walking around with his backpack, getting ready to go do work again. Spo, we put you over as a scout earlier on the show today, just so you know. All right, state of the Texans right now. Nick Caserio met with the media yesterday at the Combine, as we roll on here on a Thursday morning on Payne and Pendergast. Where are the Texans right now in Nick's mind as far as where they stand among the lead? Where are they among contenders?
You know, I was just talking to our local guys. I mean, other than the Minnesota and Baltimore game, like, we really had an opportunity to win each game. So what does that tell you? It tells you, all right, we've done enough things. We just got to finish games. We got to execute a little bit more consistently. But if you just keep putting yourself in that position, keep knocking down the door, eventually it's going to cave in. So, but it was fun to watch. Just the arc. The postseason is always fun to watch. There's a reason those teams are still playing. We've been fortunate to be playing here the last couple of years. You know, we've been in the last 8, the last 2 years. years. So what's the next step? I mean, I don't know. It's just about like trying to put together a good team once the season starts. It's just about being consistent over the course of a long period of time. So we're trying to build a consistent program with a consistent, be a consistent winner. We got one of the best head coaches in the league. We got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We feel like we have some really good young players. So just try to continue to build and take advantage of our opportunities and be smart about it.
I always wonder when it's national media asking these questions, what they're expecting. You know, they don't interview Nick on a regular basis, you know. So I always wonder if they're expecting him to say, no, the goal is to get to here next. He's a very process-driven guy.
No, he's very process-driven. And it's a lot of what they used to talk about or people would talk about in New England, where it's a matter of, okay, can you consistently be at a point where you're making championship games, the conference championship games? I always felt like in New England they felt that if they had – the right quarterback, and you know, if Belichick thought he was the right coach, that there, and if you do enough of the small things across the board well, that you've got a shot at being in the championship game every year. And then there's always a little bit of luck or turn of fate or whatever incredible performances determine whether or not you're going to win the Super Bowl. But it's a high standard. The way Nick puts it, I could see a lot of people maybe feeling like they want a pep talk. They want a guy that's like, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. I just know from watching great coaches or franchises like the Patriots over the years, it's much more of a baseball approach.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's where Nick doesn't get overly excited about the draft. If anything, he downplays its importance compared to the hoopla that's surrounding it.
Big time.
Certainly the combine.
Yep.
Because he just looks at it as it's one of many, many, many different ways to bring players into your building.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is that Nick gets asked something like that, and he's very much about the process and just trying to be more consistent and all these things. DeMeco, in the aftermath of losing to the Chiefs in the divisional round, those next two press conferences, especially the one on Monday after the dust had kind of settled on the weekend, was very much about, like, we have to get to the AFC title game.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He was kind of the opposite.
Which
you know?
Is, no, and that's, when you want
your, both are fine.
Your partnership between your GM and head coach, the one that I always like and prefer is if you've got less emotional GM, because they have to make emotionally detached decisions, and it allows your head coach to be the guy that, you know, has the feel for the emotional side, for the human side of things, and I think they have a good dynamic in that regard. So Nick and DeMeco, I think seem so genuinely aligned to the point where we don't have to hear about alignment or anything. Remember, though, Brian, that was a big buzzword through multiple different GMs.
It was with Brian Gain.
Yeah.
Because he was not aligned with Rick Smith.
He was not aligned with Rick Smith.
Yeah.
He claimed he was aligned with Gain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't aligned with Gain. Then he was aligned with himself.
Easterby showed up and saw, this is aligned, and he just put his foot to it like, not anymore.
Well, that was Bill O'Brien's biggest weakness with the Texans was as a GM, because he's the exact opposite of that mindset that you're talking about. I mean, imagine if Bill O'Brien had to deal with the Deshaun Watson situation.
Ha!
Because seriously, can you imagine it? I don't know if he would have survived. And I'm not even exaggerating. I think he might have had a stroke.
And we got 2 fourth-round picks. And at some point, you just got to –
you got to get rid of this guy at some point.
At some point, I got to move on.
Yeah.
There's drills I got to go through.
I know. I would be a horrible GM. At some point, I would have let it all get to me. I would have either gotten angry or I would have gotten stressed out about what happens if the worst outcome legally happens or whatever. I totally would have botched that.
Yep.
But because Nick could kind of maintain some emotional distance from it, he was able to – I mean, he got back way, way, way more than people were expecting. The only people who were disappointed are people who had bid on some of the fake reports about 5 first-round picks
that. And players.
Yeah.
I remember that, too. I remember looking at it going, okay, not disappointed, but being like a little surprised that they didn't get a young player or two.
We had tantalized ourselves with a couple of the reports of what people thought the package was going to be.
I think people tantalize themselves with like the fantasy booking of these trades. You know what I mean? Like, here's what it could be. And then that gets morphed into their brain, and this is what it should be.
They were coming in fast and furious yesterday. We're starting to get into that silly season of trade suggestions where, listen, everybody, I know I'm not criticizing you because I succumbed to it as well, but some of the packages that people were suggesting for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
It's like a 7th-round pick, Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie.
Yeah.
All right, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
There was one that was Titus Howard in a 5th.
Yeah, for him.
I'm like,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not
going to happen. Speaking of DeMeco and Nick, he was asked about that, and he is he's over the top in how much he enjoys working with DeMeco.
Yeah, it's like year one. I mean, it's been phenomenal from the beginning. I mean, I can't, like, I've been asked about DeMeco countless times, and I feel the same way. I love the guy personally and professionally. His consistency on a day-to-day basis, his message, how he handles the team, it resonates. And, look, he's one of the best head coaches in the league. I don't think anybody would argue that. So we're very fortunate to have him in a position that he's in. I enjoy our relationship. We enjoy each other's relationship. My role and job is to support him in any way possible. So that's my fiduciary responsibility to him. So, and I'll go to with this guy. So whatever he needs, whatever he thinks we need to do, we talk about it. We have good conversations. We view football through the same lens. A lot of times I'm talking, he's thinking. He's thinking, I'm talking. So we see it through the same kind of, I mean, he's old school in a lot of ways, but he has a very personal touch and the players respect the hell out of him. And he's so consistent. And when you walk in the building, you feel his energy, you feel his juice. And there's a reason why players want to come to Houston. It's to play for DeMeco and it's to play for the players, with the players that are in the locker room. I try to get the hell out of the way and just try to be a good resource for DeMeco as much as I can.
Since a lot of this is taken on the theme of the relationship between DeMeco and Nick, when DeMeco was on the Texans radio with Mark and John, you know, DeMeco kind of painted out a similar healthy separation where DeMeco gives his input about all of these free agents that the Texans have right now. The guys who were on the team last year who are free agents. DeMeco and Nick will talk about what the positives and negatives of each guy is, and then DeMeco said something along the lines of then Nick has to figure out the contract part. So which is a really good separation to have for a coach who's a player's coach in a lot of regards. It's hard to be a player's coach when you're also the guy that's making the financial decisions.
Yes.
Because then you end up looking like a two-face or a hypocrite or what have you. So DeMeco could stand up on a table for a guy, but also understand that Nick's got to do what's best financially for the team and just let it go. And I think they have that ability to let the other guy do his job.
Yeah.
You know, Nick might have opinions about what coverages they should be running, but at a certain point, he's deferring to DeMeco.
That's
on all
DeMeco's
that stuff.
World yeah. over there. Yeah.
It's his decision ultimately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting, you know, like Nick came from 2 decades worth of seeing things through a certain lens.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had the first 2 years here where you're just shuffling through head coaches who aren't long-term yeah. solutions. Like I ignore those 2 years when it comes to just like the building of the significant parts of this team moving forward. And it would be interesting just like to talk to Nick about what are certain things that he maybe when he was at New England was not used to looking for in players. Like
yeah.
does he look at players or traits differently now that he's really shopping for DeMeco, that's a different school of thought than the one he was steeped
well,
in.
Well, I think that, honestly, if you look at the allure that Jack Easterby had for a lot of the people in New England, whether it be Bill Belichick or Nick Caserio himself, like, Belichick knows and understands that he's not a classical people person. And I think that when it came to relating to players and all that, I think Jack Easterby served a really good role for them there. And that it was at least somebody that does, Easterby does have a way with people. You know, and depending on context, it can be good or bad. But it was good in that role in New England. I think when you come here, that I think DeMeco's got a better feel for things like figuring out whether a guy is a swarm type of guy or a DeMeco yeah. Ryans type of guy, perhaps, and then how to manage guys like that who might be underperformers or need to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's just got a much better feel for a lot of that to where they don't have to try to lean on their life preserver, the Jack Easterby, who supposedly knows people.
Well, Nick used the exact term, that exact term at the end of the cut we just played, and DeMeco's got all these assets as a coach, and then at the end he talks about it, and he has that personal touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what he used. Belichick had to import his personal
touch. Right, well,
touch.
That's like Belichick.
If
Belichick had tried to recreate himself as a player's coach, it would have been an abysmal failure because, right, it's not him.
Yeah.
And also because Belichick was much more involved on the contract side of things.
Yeah.
And I think wanted to have control over that. So it was just a different dynamic. That's probably a huge different dynamic. I mean, for one, Belichick was the GM of the Patriots.
Yes.
You know, one way or the other, no matter whoever anybody's title was. And people could give him advice, but he was making those ultimate decisions. This is more of a classic GM does his job, head coach does his job type of scenario.
Today's a big day for you.
What is it?
Kenneth Grant is working out today, man.
I've given up on him already.
You have?
I think Kenneth Grant's going to be in the top half of the first round.
Oh, maybe,
defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Maybe he stumbles today or something, though. Maybe he vomits today right in the middle of one of the drills.
Yeah, maybe he cracks up. He's like crying in the corner in the fetal position.
Yeah, we're rooting for him to damage himself just enough to fall to 25.
If I were a shady NFL person, I would totally be like trying to leak some report about him or something.
Yes.
Heard this kid likes to drink the beer. Mm. Yeah.
Drinks
the beer a lot, I hear.
Yeah.
That's what they say about him.
How else do you get to 340?
Yeah. Well, I guess John Harris said that he's definitely less than 340. So he showed up as a freshman.
Johnny's laid eyes on him.
He sent me a gushing picture about him yesterday at the podium. So now if he does weigh 340, I think John was doing that based on the eyeball.
Yeah.
So if he weighs 340 and John thought he looked less than 340, then that's a really good sign. He showed up at Ohio State weighing 360, got himself down to 340. But then even he was listed at 340 last year. And I honestly, watching him play last year at Michigan, I'd be really, really surprised if he weighed 340 because he was moving like very, very few 340-pounders do. Like, he was moving like Vince Wilfork does.
Yeah.
You know, and Vince Wilfork was a guy that moved way better than what do you think Wilfork? He was always listed at 325, but I think he was more like 340
Right? Yeah. He was every bit of 340.
He didn't have a real thick lower body, so I could see where maybe it was a deceptive.
I never got that. As I was scanning him, I never got down that far. I'd stop on his belly. I'm like, that is a big belly right there.
That's true. Maybe his legs actually were bigger than I thought. It was just the. Remember Yao Ming? You know. You didn't realize how big he was until you saw him in person because his legs were so gigantic that his upper body looked small comparatively.
Yeah.
But then you see him in your person, you're like, oh, no, just everything is huge. He's not narrow-shouldered at all. He's just got gigantic legs and hips.
The most jarring Yao Ming picture you'll find, and it's probably on the internet somewhere, is him standing next to J.J. Watt.
Right, where J.J. looks like an eager junior high student.
J.J. Watt looks like a slot receiver standing next to him.
Yeah, like, I might want to go up to J.J. Watt's father and be like, are you sure he's old enough to be working out this hard?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to be careful lifting weights that heavy that young.
Man. All right, we're off and running.
You know, JJ looks like that. Remember that freakishly jacked little kid that used to be in the ads back in
Gronk?
No. Like way back in the day, like in the 90s. He had like a it was creepy. He was like a 9-year-old and his dad was a fitness freak. And he had like abs and muscles and everything.
I've never seen that and I don't
You'll recognize it when I pull it up for you.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
He had long hair and a ponytail. It just felt weird. He was like the miniature version of what would 20 years later be the annoying fitness guy on Twitter or Instagram. Yeah.
All right, we'll get to headlines next. Astros get a win in spring training yesterday. We'll be out there today in Port St. Lucie as they take on the Mets. We got Texans, Rockets win last night. NFL news too, including huge news potentially at the top of the draft that we will get to in headlines. That's coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
The Astros, they win yesterday. We're bringing that up first because we are live in West Palm Beach. Thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors as we get into headlines here. The Astros beat the Nationals yesterday 3-0. The things you need to know from that game: Yiner Diaz, 2-run home run. Framber Valdez, 2 shutout innings to open the game. Just gave up a walk. Got a double play in the first inning. So check a couple boxes with the guys that are prominent guys on this team with that game. They'll play the Mets today in Port St. Lucie. We'll be on our way to that game after the show is over. Today, we will be here in West Palm Beach tomorrow to get to watch Jose Altuve in left field for the first time. Here was Joe Espada yesterday talking about Altuve and how long he's going to play in left field tomorrow.
I would like to give him at least 5 innings of defense.
Yeah.
4 or 5 innings of defense. I think that would be a good first day, hopefully. It's a nice sunny day. And we get a good first look out there in left.
Like the nice sunny day getting mixed in.
I know, that's interesting. Yeah, because I guess you could have it's a good challenge because the sun in the early innings is in the outfielders' faces. So if I'm recalling properly, based on my discomfort,
it was
in the
over
first
top
inning,
of us yesterday. We were sitting in right field.
So supply balls, you might have to adjust to the sun.
I didn't
or whatnot,
think about that. Yeah,
versus an overcast cloud where you might lose it. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's going to face lots of challenges. And Spo brought this up yesterday. The things you can't necessarily really tell from anything they do in practice, no matter how good he's looked, is okay. broken bat stuff, like just all of the different scenarios that come up in a game, and not to mention navigating different ballparks and everything that comes with it. There's probably going to be some hiccups along the way.
Yeah, workouts are controlled. Games are not.
I'm not going to try to freak out every time Jose Altuve has a hiccup in left field. You know, when Biggio made the switch when he was 37 years old, he had already played in the outfield for 120 games earlier in his career. So it wasn't like he was going out and doing it for the very first time. This is different with Altuve. He's a couple years younger than Biggio was when he made the switch, but he's never played in left field
yeah,
before.
Yeah, yeah. And it's left field, so that's, you know, center field. Biggio's playing center field.
Yeah.
If Altuve were in center field, I would be really nervous. So we'll have eyes on that tomorrow. Keep tuned, not only to Sports Radio 610, because we'll check in with the guys in the middays and the afternoons, but keep following us on social media, because we're putting up a lot of stuff from the park on our social media while we're here. And hopefully for you guys, doing a good job of keeping you in tune with what's going on in spring training.
And Cam Smith will be starting today, so we'll get another look at him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
I expect at least when he's starting, you know, he might end up getting 3 home runs today, probably.
Yeah,
disappointed with anything less.
Nobody's got him out yet.
Mm.
2 walks, 2 home runs, man. That's it. He can't. Nobody can get him out in spring training.
Is this the thing we're overreacting about that we feel the totally comfortable overreacting about?
Yeah,
I'm not he's not gonna be a day one starter on the major league squad or anything, but
no, I think we're overreacting to it appropriately, because like you just said, neither you nor I have said, well, move over Paredes,
yeah,
third base is his, or right field, you know, get out of here, Chaz, right field is his. I, you know, you and I have not put him on the major league roster in April yet.
But the guy who's had the biggest sports radio take on it is Despoto, when he said he's a guy who can carry an organization for decades.
He's the hottest take artist out of all of us, is his manager, okay?
If he had shouted it instead of saying it quietly, that could have been a classic sports radio host
this
take.
This is what I would say. Like if you can't get excited about the guy you got in the Kyle Tucker trade,
yeah,
hitting 2 home runs,
yeah,
in a game,
yeah,
then I don't know why you watch sports.
Right, yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Hey, like, everybody, let's tamp down the enthusiasm here a little bit.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's why, you know what, though? Because that's why the internet sucks, though. Because you can't get excited about anything without legions of people being like, hold on there, partner.
Exactly.
I'm like, no, let me be irrationally optimistic about something in my life,
that
okay?
That is why the internet sucks.
Yeah.
That and scams. Yeah, those two things.
Mm-hmm.
People, pessimists, and scams.
A lot of other stuff that's pretty good.
It has its moments for sure. The internet. Texans combine workouts begin today. Linebackers, defensive linemen. Seth, I would say of all the people working out today, if you're a Texan fan, Kenneth Grant is probably the biggest one you've got that you're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good edge rushers that'll probably go in the first part of the draft, and that's. It doesn't necessarily – I'd be really surprised if the Texans take an edge rusher. Now, if one of those guys falls and he's clearly the best player available, then they certainly could. But I just think that it all kind of plays out to the better defensive tackle prospects. Or there's a lot of good ones that are going to be there in the back half of the first round and then on into the second round.
Yep, so those are the workouts for today. There will be workouts going all the way through early next week up in Indianapolis. They really stretch this thing out now and maximize it for probably mostly for content purposes. The big news draft-wise, though, that we should make people aware of, Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State, who many of the mock drafts have going first overall to Tennessee, he has a foot injury. And that just came to light yesterday. He was tested at the combine. Test revealed that he's got a stress reaction in his right foot and could undergo surgery. This would terrify me if I were Tennessee or Cleveland or the Giants, one of those teams near the top of the draft, and Abdul Carter was on my board, and he should be on the board for all these teams. But a foot injury is such a tricky thing, man.
Yeah, you think about Tyree Wilson a couple years ago, who was kind of neck and neck with Will Anderson as being the edge rusher, and then and I actually had Tyree Wilson over Will Anderson for a while, and then
too.
then when I learned about his foot injury and it scared the hell out of me. And luckily, I switched my favorite to Will Anderson. I say luckily for no other reason than just my personal pride and credibility.
Yeah, yeah.
But feet scare the crap out of me. Going back to Kevin Johnson and Matt Schaub. I don't care what anybody says. Every time somebody has a Liz Frank or some kind of foot fracture or something, all the medical experts say, well, it's a pretty simple recovery. It feels like 50% of the time there's complications down the road.
It's a simple recovery if you're a salesperson or a lawyer or something like that.
Right.
That doesn't have a job where you're pushing off
at max speed with superhuman strength and power.
And trying to push 300 pounders around.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of a big deal.
Yes.
He'll fall to the Texans. That's what I'm claiming.
No, he'll
fall to the Ravens.
Fall to the Ravens.
Yeah,
and his foot will be fine.
That's exactly
what
happens.
It'll be the next Terrell Suggs.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. So that's news that you need to know from the Combine. Rockets, they get a win last night, 118-106 over the San Antonio Spurs. They jumped out to a big lead. This game was never close. They jumped out to a huge lead in the first quarter, and they just kept bumping around about a 20-25 point lead the whole night. Amen Thompson was awesome in this game. He had 25 points, and he was destroying the Spurs in the low post in the first quarter of this game. He was like, oh, no Wembanyama out here? I will just beep up and Scott all over this lane
here. This felt good. It felt good. Look, it's the Spurs who are on kind of a modified ad-lib tank at this point.
Because Wemby's out.
But
it's
a back-to-back win, and some of the things that have plagued the Rockets in terms of scrappiness and what have you, they out-rebounded the Spurs 60-41.
Yep.
It was a hustle game in a lot of regards.
In a game with Notar Eason, who's probably their most hustle player, the Rockets. So Notar Eason, because they're resting him, because it's the back end of a back-to-back, managing his medicals. And Fred VanVleet, hopefully back pretty soon. We'll see. Old Fred VanVleet.
The other big headline, Khalil Shakir, the wide receiver for the Bills, signed a 4-year, $60 million contract extension with the Bills. That feels like a very reasonable deal.
$15 million a year?
Yeah. I think that Shakir's one of those guys where I don't know exactly how good he'd be with a lesser quarterback than Josh Allen, but the Bills are also kind of – we saw the version of Josh Allen without Khalil Shakir in Houston, and it wasn't so pretty.
He didn't play that game in week five.
It wasn't so hot at all. So I think just having some stability right there. I don't get super excited about Shakir as a perennial All-Pro or anything, but he's very important
to
what they do now.
Mr. Yards after catch.
Yeah.
He had nearly 600 yards after catch this past year. Like, he's like top three or four in the league in yards after catch. So he's a very specific fit, probably, Khalil Shakir in Buffalo. But it's interesting, you know, any contract that gets signed, look, Stephon Diggs is not getting a 4-year deal. This is a 4-year, $60 million deal. But the $15 million per year average is right in that neighborhood, I think, Diggs is going to be. Does this contract at all, Seth, do you think, does Diggs operate in the same market as a Khalil Shakir right now, or is he in a separate bin?
I would say probably in the same, except because of the health issues.
Yeah.
He's not going to get a 4-year. If he does get a 4-year contract, I don't think it's going to be for $60 million.
I think there's zero chance he gets a 4-year contract.
Yeah, so I think that Diggs could end up on a team where he's a good fit for them, like the Commanders or somebody like that. If they've got a lot of cap space and they've got a young quarterback, if every reason that the Texans signed Stephon Diggs or traded for Stephon Diggs, I could see a team like the Commanders, who has a boatload of cap space, saying, yeah, we'll bring you in here on a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yep.
But it'll make likely less money than the Texans were willing to pay him last year.
Report cards are out on NFL teams right now, the second year of the NFL PA. Report card, players voting on how good their teams are at doing certain things off the field. How did the Texans rate? How did the head coach rate? Is the best part of this team, according to the report card, is the best part of this team, the Texans, the owner? We will get to that coming up next.